Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored, Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is May 29th, 2017. I'm recording my show here from Jerusalem. Thank you so much for joining us on Facebook Live for this half of the program. After the break, we're going to be speaking to Mudar Zahran, the Secretary General of the Jordanian opposition. Hear his unique insight into the situation in Jordan, in Saudi Arabia, President Trump's recent visit to the region. So you're going to want to go and listen to that once it's posted to my Facebook page and thelandofisrael.com's Facebook page. We will not be here on Facebook Live because we won't be able to hear Mudar on the line. Anyway, just want to recap just a little bit about what's going on here in the news. And this past week, of course, we had the Trump visit to Israel. I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty. I think it's been analyzed left, right, all over the place here. But I do want to mention Yom Yerushalayim, the 50th anniversary of the liberation of Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, the Golan, and all the other areas. For those who were in Jerusalem on Wednesday to see, it must have been at least 100,000 young people marching to the Kotel in Jerusalem. I don't know. I was at Aerosmith the week before, and there were about 50,000 people. And this looked like 50,000 people when I was there at the Kotel at the Western Wall, and there were still thousands streaming in. So I would guess that there were 100,000 people who were in attendance for the Jerusalem Day Parade, the flag march to the Kotel. It was the biggest. I think it was the biggest. I've been going now basically since I made Aliyah about 15 years ago, every Jerusalem Day. I have never seen anything like this. To me, this was unprecedented to see so many people celebrating the unification, reunification of Jerusalem, our eternal capital, sending a message that Jerusalem will never be divided again. And just so much ruach, spirit there from those dancing. I saw tourists from all over the world who were taking part in the parade, from Japan, from all different types of countries, and locals here in Israel too, religious, secular. I know people make it out like this is a parade just for the religious, but I saw people who were participating and dancing and enjoying the festivities, who were not wearing kippot. I think the overall majority, of course, were the national religious camp, but there were many others who were participating as well, and I think it's important. I don't know the feeling throughout the rest of Israel. I heard different reports that you don't really feel it as much as you do in Jerusalem, for obvious reasons. But I wish the whole country would one day celebrate it as a major, major holiday and recognize the miracles. I'm not saying everybody, but I wish the majority would recognize the miracles of the Six-Day War, the miracles of the reunification of Jerusalem, of Judea, Samaria, the liberation of those areas, the Golan. One day, maybe it'll be just a national holiday and everybody will take part. But really, just a moving and emotional week, even without the Trump visit, all the different events which took place, the Moskowitz Prize ceremony. I heard the event at the outside the walls of the old city of Jerusalem last Sunday night were unbelievable. Of course, we had our very own event, the inauguration of the world headquarters of the Land of Israel Network in Ibei HaNachal in Gush Etzion, which was an amazing, amazing event. You can go online onto our website, landofisrael.com, if you were not there, and check out all of the speakers and all of the bands that perform, and just a beautiful, beautiful event there with our network, the Land of Israel Network. That summarizes it in a nutshell. We could talk a lot more about Jerusalem Day. Today is actually Memorial Day in the United States. For those of you who are actually commemorating Memorial Day, and people are, I know we discussed it on the program before, Memorial Day in the U.S. is definitely not what it is here in Israel. Here in Israel, unfortunately, everyone knows somebody, or at least somebody who knows somebody who fell defending the state of Israel, who was unfortunately killed in a terror attack. So here it's really close to home. In the U.S., such a big country, it's not the same feeling. And unfortunately, there are a lot of Memorial Day sales and a lot of shopping and all that other stuff. And I don't want to take away from those who are grieving and in mourning and actually pay visits to the cemeteries throughout the U.S. I know there are plenty of people there who dedicated their lives for the sake of freedom, who are commemorating this day. But it's just not the same feeling in the U.S. And somebody who grew up there, I can tell you firsthand, if you don't know somebody directly who die defending the country, then it's not the same feeling. Back here in Israel, just a few points here before we go to break and then bring on Mudar Zahran. This I thought was unbelievable. I mean, I thought it was maybe April Fool's Day. The United Nations, reported here by the Jerusalem Post yesterday, joined with Norway in denouncing the naming of a women's center in what it says here, West Bank or Judea and Samaria, after Dalal Mughrabi, a female terrorist who led the 1978 Coastal Road massacre that killed 38 people and wounded many others. So Norway said that they wanted to have nothing to do with the dedication of this women's center. They said they wanted the money back from the Palestinian Authority, who decided to name the center after a jihadist female terrorist. And then the UN got on board and also distanced themselves from that center named after a terrorist. I could not believe this when I saw this. I thought this was April Fool's. I could not believe the UN was distancing themselves. I don't know if this is the first time, but truly, truly phenomenal. And I think it really does have to do with the fact that you have Nikki Haley, superstar, that's what I call a rock star, there in the United Nations, who, you know, is doing amazing things in her capacity, who's doing amazing things defending Israel and the UN. And she's only been there for, what, 100 days or even less? She's amazing. And I think it's because of this new trend and this new reality that we have. I'm not saying the president's perfect, President Trump, and there are definitely some, you know, issues we could get into. But overall, whether it's his visit here, whether it's the fact that the UN is actually siding with Israel and condemning the PA for glorifying terrorists, this is a change. If it continues, there's still issues with the UN. And, you know, there's a legal building the UN is taking part in Jerusalem, the Armon HaNatziv neighborhood. And the government actually yesterday recognized the fact the UN was building illegally in Jerusalem. There's that issue. And there are plenty of other issues, whether it's the UN Human Rights Council, the Security Council, plenty of other issues. But for the first time since as far back as I can remember, for the UN to actually call out the PA for glorifying terrorism, saying it doesn't want to have anything to do with this women's center named after a female terrorist, I thought it was April Fool's. It was unbelievable. One other item here, the Knesset and Congress are scheduled to have an event marking the 50 years of the reunification liberation of Jerusalem, event scheduled to be broadcast on video between the two legislatures next Tuesday. Some are saying that this is another example of the U.S. admitting that, and it's unbelievable that someone has to admit or recognize Jerusalem as the capital of the state of Israel. I know the president did not yet, and there's still a few more days left, did not yet declare that he was moving the embassy to Jerusalem. Maybe it'll still happen. Who knows? We'll see. But nevertheless, it's unbelievable that, number one, you had President Trump at the Western Wall at the Kotel, and the images and the message that sent. And then here you have coming up a Knesset Congress event, which some are saying that this is a recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, which of course should be the case. There's a lot more we could talk about today, but we have a very, very extensive interview coming up after the break with Mudar Zahran, Secretary General of the Jordanian Opposition. Those who are joining live on Facebook, thanks so much. Hope you're having a wonderful Monday. It is the 29th of May, 2017 in the U.S. It is Memorial Day, so wishing you a meaningful Memorial Day there. My name is Josh Haston. This is Israel Uncensored, Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. You can be in touch during the week, of course, via email, josh@thelandofisrael.com. On Facebook, if you're watching right now, or if you're not, it's Joshua Haston on Twitter, @JoshHaston. Big shout out to my man over here, Benjamin Bresky, engineer extraordinaire. Without him, there is no sound, people. We can't do this without Ben. And we're going to take a break and come back with Mudar Zahran. Don't go anywhere. This is Josh Haston, Land of Israel Network, at thelandofisrael.com. And those watching on Facebook, shalom, shalom. Have a wonderful day.
The best place to stay in Jerusalem is at Windows of Jerusalem Vacation Apartments. Check out their website, www.windowsofjerusalem.com. They've got beautiful 1, 2, 3, 4 bedroom apartments in the best location in the city center with the most beautiful, breathtaking views. And I mean breathtaking. I've stayed there a number of times myself. And I'm telling you, there are few places anywhere in the city where you can take it all in to this degree. The view, the location, the great apartments, plus the wonderful staff will truly make you feel at home in Jerusalem. Book your stay now at windowsofjerusalem.com.
And we are back. Josh Haston here. Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. Thanks so much for joining us here on the 29th of May, 2017. I am in Jerusalem here with my main man, Binyamin Breskey, engineer extraordinaire. We're going to go to the phone right now. The Secretary General of the Jordanian Opposition, a good friend, Mudar Zahran, joins us now on the line all the way from London. Mudar, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a while. It's been way too long, actually, since we spoke to you to get your analysis on everything going on. I want to start with the President of the United States, who just visited the region, first Saudi Arabia, then he was here in Israel. From where you are sitting in your position, what do you make of the President's visit? What are the ramifications here for the future in the Middle East?
Well, the President did put a very new game, or like he outlined the rules of the new game for the Middle East. First of all, I believe it was a very successful visit. In Saudi Arabia, the President had a very major accomplishment, which is he secured two things. A, that the Muslim Brotherhood would be literally outlawed and would be removed from the face of existence as far as the President is concerned. As you know, and we've been friends for a while now, that in my position we get information and through our connections, which maybe possibly most of the journalists do not get. And most of the people in the media cannot see. But we know that there has been a huge push by the President against the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the mother of all terrorist groups, including Hamas. At the same time, they are all immediately Saudi Arabia banned the terror group. And the only two countries now causing problem with this are Qatar and Jordan, because they're still refusing to give up their connections and their cooperation with the Muslim Brotherhood. The second accomplishment is he secured what I would call a soft economic and political normalization between Arab countries and Israel. Now all Arab countries are willing to make peace with Israel without a so-called peace deal. There's also the President's arrival in Israel. The fact that he went and visited the Western Wall, it was a very clear statement to us Arabs that the President wants to see Jerusalem as the unified capital of Israel, including Eastern Jerusalem. There's also what we can tell you about his communications with Abbas. The President's visit to Abbas was in Bethlehem, not in Ramallah. This has huge implications, and it shows, because the de facto Palestinian capital is Ramallah, as far as Abbas is concerned, and he didn't go there. The President also laid a lot of things on the ground, including what I would call some sort of parallel peace. Abbas now understand that the world doesn't revolve around him, that is, the Arabs are willing to make serious peace with Israel without a peace deal.
So let me ask you this. That's a very, very important point that you just said, that the Arabs were possibly willing to make a peace deal with Israel regardless of the situation between Israel and the Palestinians. That being said, the President did say in one of his comments, he said something like, a peace deal between Israel and the Palestinians will open up other avenues between Israel and her neighbors. So was he just saying that to be politically correct? I mean, why would he make a statement like that when, in fact, as you're saying, that it, you know, as we know, of course, here in Israel, that the Middle East does not revolve around the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Why would he even hint to that in some of his statements here when he was on the ground in Jerusalem?
As you know, it's politics, and there's usually a small difference between what many politicians are forced to say for protocol and what's really happening on the ground. All in all, right now, is all Arab countries, except for Qatar and Jordan, do have genuine and actual and practical ties to Israel. Of course, you forget the traditional enemies like Syria and a few other crazy ones. We are looking at a very new chapter, not only for the so-called conflict. We're looking at a whole new chapter for the Middle East. Things will change drastically, and the president has set a new blueprint for the entire region.
And from where you're sitting in your position as Secretary General of the Jordanian opposition, what's going on in your country, Jordan, where you're not actually situated currently, but what is the situation like these days in Jordan, number one, vis-a-vis the Trump visit and Israel, and just in general, whether it's with the refugees from Syria, the state of affairs with the administration, with the king? What's the situation now these days for those people who want to understand better about the realities in Jordan?
Well, okay, I have to unfortunately give up my god of diplomacy when I answer this question.
No problem. This is Israel Uncensored. You can say what you'd like.
Most of the people who write about Jordan in Israel and in the West, most of them are uninformed. I am not reluctant, and I don't feel guilty, calling even some of the biggest names who write about Jordan and the Middle East in Israel. Some of the names you always see on television, and some of them claim authority, like, for example, some people from the Washington Institute, like David Shanker and Robert Satloff. Those people are not necessarily aware of what's happening. Jordan has changed drastically. First, after the president's visit, Jordan's government has been engaged in a whole new verbal war with Saudi Arabia, Israel, and the United States. Jordan's media, which is controlled by the King's Press Office, has changed the language against Israel into a very unprecedented manner of hostility, and against Saudi Arabia. The reason is the Saudis have agreed to peace without necessarily including Jordan or Abbas. And also the Saudis have agreed to ban the Muslim Brotherhood and fight the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the president's agenda too. This is against Jordan's king interest. Most people who may not realize there was an altercation, a verbal altercation during the conference itself, between Jordan's king and Saudi's king, and it was all over television to watch. It was very drastically deep, and it shows that everything I personally have been saying for years is true. Jordan's government is in bed with the Muslim Brotherhood. Uh-huh. The pillars of the Muslim Brotherhood group are all in Jordan. The HQ of the Muslim Brotherhood Global HQ is in Jordan, exactly 2 miles away, 3 miles away from the king's own private palace. And Jordan is a Muslim Brotherhood country. The two countries now fighting against the president's push to ban the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas. Those two countries are literally Jordan and Qatar. And this, we can go on for hours talking about the details. Jordan's government is in a verbal state of war, and the king's own advisors and writers and media are writing about making an alliance with Iran. And lately, both Qatar and Jordan have warmed up to Iran very closely. Now, where does Jordan stand? I was on your show 6 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I said then that the king would fall within 18 months. Okay. 18 months came exactly by the almost the week. There was the largest revolution in Jordan's history. 1 million people took to the street and tried to topple the king for 3 weeks. The king fled the country completely with his family, and the army took over, you know, shrewdly, very silent. They took over the country. It was a fact. It was in television. And what's even more is the media then reported that the leaders of the revolution were the seculars. And I was, according to the media, and which is absolutely true, one of the leaders and movers of that revolution. The king didn't fall because President Obama pushed for him to go back. We have to call things by their own name. Many of your so-called thinkers and philosophers like Dory Gold and others, all the respect to Dr. Dory Gold, but I have to say the facts. They don't understand that Jordan is no longer an independent country. Jordan is a country that's fully under the full influence of the United States. Jordan's military and intelligence under the full influence of the United States. If the king when the king goes, whoever's going to rule Jordan after that will come as an interim president of Jordan who is supported and put in place by the United States. It could be you, Josh. It could be anyone. It could be Lady Gaga. It could be as long as the United States chooses him. Jordan is not, by all means, it's a country that depends even for its water and its salaries of its staff and for its food and well-being on the United States. This is no different, this country, than many other similar countries, including the U.S. on U.S. Virgin Islands. And then I get people who tell me, oh, if the king goes, there will be war on Israel's borders. If the king goes, we will lose our partner. First of all, the king has been a huge and a documented enemy of the state of Israel. We can speak about this for hours, but anyone trying to argue against this is literally insane and uninformed. And everything I've been saying has come out to be true, including the king's connections and actually partnership with the Muslim Brotherhood, which is now a fact. The king himself openly is defending the Muslim Brotherhood, even in television on occasions, and I've said that he's an enemy of Israel, an enemy for peace, an enemy of peace. This man is now literally, his statements, Netanyahu is trying to keep his diplomatic guard with the king, came out and said Jordan's playing both ends against the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a guy who's been very problematic, and let's not forget other things like his refusal to extradite Sparrow restaurant bomber Ahlam Tamimi. He's refusing. Why is he protecting two killers, Ahlam al-Tamimi, who killed 15 people, including two Americans, and Muarek Abu Taye, who is a Jordanian soldier who opened fire last November, killing three American soldiers and tried to kill the fourth. Imagine that the Jordanian government praised him, called him Raiden, a man with 14 years of experience who should, you know, be respected, in other words. And so this is not a good guy, Jordan's king. Most important, what should be of interest to you? Any of those so-called experts who claim Jordan is protecting your borders is uninformed and, in my opinion, rather either has an agenda or insane, because the borders are manned and operated and controlled by the U.S. Central Command. Let me say this again. Jordan's borders are controlled by the U.S. Central Command, not by Jordan's army. Though you see Jordanian soldiers on the ground, but those people have commanders who answer to the U.S. Central Command. Evidence that the king is irrelevant is the fact that he spends most of his time out of the country. If he was so relevant in his family, how come they're always out of the country? Nonetheless, this doesn't mean a lot for people like one of my teachers and one of my inspirations, Daniel Pipes, who still, you know, apparently insists that the king is essential. And there are people like Dory Gold, and they come up with all kinds of excuses that we don't know what's going to happen next. It's short and simple. With President Trump in power, okay, during Obama's time, the concern was very valid because Obama would have removed the king and put a Muslim Brotherhood president in charge. Right now, we have the right president, the White House, who would never tolerate anything that would be either against Israel or Islamist in charge. There's no fear about Jordan's future because Jordan, again, the king is always out of the country. He's irrelevant. He doesn't control anything beyond the country's budget. He doesn't even control the military budget. I think there will be another revolution. We had three of them in the last 6 years and a half. There will be another one, only that this time the U.S. administration would not do everything to keep the king in charge. Because, you know, President Trump is a businessman. First of all, he's seen every single bad sign from Jordan's king. And we could talk about this for weeks, about what the king has been doing to the U.S. and to Israel and to Saudi Arabia, which is now a de facto it's America's strongest ally in the Middle East after Israel. Things will change. Our biggest obstacles now are the Jewish American loyalists who remain in the U.S. They're, thank God, not many of them. We have people who are still holding tight to the king. I cannot place exactly what their motives are. Maybe fear, but it's not justified because many of them do have the connections and they can get the information. Maybe personal interest, very likely, because the king is known to be incredibly generous with members of the lobbyists and influentials in D.C. and New York. We don't know, but things will change. In my opinion, it won't be too long before the U.S. president changes his mind about Jordan's king. For the record, the king's state-controlled media has been pathetically attacking Trump, pathetically attacking Israel, and occasionally pathetically attacking me by all means possible.
This is all unbelievable and important information, things that people aren't hearing in the mainstream media and need to hear. I just want to say, first of all, you have an amazing memory to know that it was exactly 6 years ago that I interviewed you and you made that prediction. And now I understand it looking back that it was the Obama administration which bolstered the king. And as you mentioned, in order to perhaps strengthen the Muslim Brotherhood over there in Jordan. Number two, Lady Gaga is king of Jordan. That would be that would be something to see. And number three, as you mentioned, the bombers of the perpetrator, the mastermind of the Sbarro massacre, and the soldier who killed Americans last year, definitely should be extradited and should not be roaming free. Should be in prison for the rest of their lives. And we could talk about Jordan and everything else going on there, as you said, on and on. But one final point, and our time is short before we have to go. I just want to know your final thoughts specifically in regard to Israel and the Arabs living here in Judea and Samaria. You know, the president said at least openly that he's determined to reach the ultimate deal And we're waiting to see what that means, what he has in mind. I'm happy that he didn't make any statements when he was here. He didn't refer to communities in Judea and Samaria. He didn't refer to, he didn't use the word occupation or any of that. But what are your thoughts, and before we go, what are your thoughts here on the future of potential talks between Israel and the Palestinians here in this country?
The president is a businessman. The president will not take any nonsense from either Abbas, the couple, Abbas and Jordan King, who have been mastering the opposition of peace process. The future now, what Abbas has, what the president has at the table, is not being made public. But I think a lot of it has come from Mr. Jared Kushner, a very dedicated professional advisor, very well informed, with connections, family connections to the Middle East, and who is also an avid American patriot and an avid lover of the State of Israel. I think eventually, or actually even now, Jordan is on the table. Our vision is clear. Our vision is a Jordanian self-determination for Jordanians, who exactly 85% of them identify as Jordanians of Palestinian heritage, and with civil administrative connections to the Palestinians in Judea and Samaria. The land has been divided. The division may have not been fair, but there's no such thing as fair after a war. The only pathway to peace is through a Jordanian that's ruled by someone who represents the majority. Let's be clear. We're not talking about any a drop in democracy in Jordan. Dropping democracy in Jordan might result in chaos. We're talking about rulers, people who, an administration that represents the will and the self-determination of the majority. We strongly believe the Palestinian Authority will not survive past Abbas. We cannot see how the Palestinian Authority is going to survive. It's going to die eventually. And it's most Palestinians in the West Bank, or Judea and Samaria, would rather for Israel to come back for apparent reasons, for economic and humane reasons. Doesn't mean they love Israel, but we were absolutely, and you know, tell your listeners that I'm a frequent visitor of Judea and Samaria, and I have a family house there, and I spent most of my summers there, and because I can't go back home to my country, Jordan.
Right.
So most of them, and I can say this authoritatively, would love to see Israel coming back because of the living hell that the Palestinian Authority is offering. The Palestinian Authority is not going to survive. Reason it's not going to survive because it cannot keep any of its promises for the president, and the Jordan option will eventually come on the table. And I cannot even say what I know about this subject. I can only say that it is coming. The original division of the land is enforcing itself back, where we will get 78% in Jordan as the Arab Palestine, and where Israel will remain the Jewish Palestine from the river to the sea. And we look forward to shalom, and we look forward to cooperation. And inshallah, God willing, the day where your child and my child would not have to fear getting stabbed in either Jerusalem or Amman.
That all sounds good to me. I would love to see the PA go, and looking forward to these developments, hopefully here in the near future. Mudar Zahran, it's always great to talk to you. We actually got a chance to meet in person several years ago here in Jerusalem, and I hope we get to see each other very, very soon. The Secretary General of the Jordanian Opposition, Mudar Zahran, if people want to learn more, what's the best way to reach you? Facebook?
Okay, they can absolutely reach me on Twitter and Facebook. Twitter is @Mudar_Zahran. To the Facebook, they have just to look up Mudar Zahran, MUDAR. Last name is Zahran. Looking forward to be in touch with all of your wonderful listeners, especially people from our friendly and beloved state of Israel on our borders.
There you have it, a Muslim friend of Israel who would like to be in touch. We'd like to see a real peace one day, as we all would. Mudar Zahran, thanks so much for your time, and have a wonderful day. Be safe.
Thank you, inshallah. Thank you.
Inshallah, all the best. And that'll do it for today, ladies and gentlemen. Josh Haston here from Jerusalem. It is the 29th of May, 2017. If you missed any part of that interview, go back and you will hear an enlightening conversation there. Some things that are not talked about in the mainstream media, the realities of the situation, things you do not hear, which are not being reported by so many different outlets. Mudar Zahran, a great friend of the show. We've spoken to him several times. I had the pleasure of meeting him, and it's always good to hear from Mudar. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Be in touch during the week. Josh@thelandofisrael.com or on Facebook, it's Joshua Haston. On Twitter, @JoshHaston. Again, big shout out to Benjamin Bresky. Without him, there is no sound engineer extraordinaire. Most importantly, between now and when we speak again next week, it's already June, folks. The month of June, summer is approaching. It's beautiful here in Israel. I already went to the beach this past Friday. Beautiful, beautiful beaches of Israel. Come visit us. Come join us here in the land of Israel. I'm Josh Haston, signing out from Jerusalem. All the best.
Hi, this is Eve Harrow, host of Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel Network. You can hear a new show from me every Sunday, and every day of the week, shows from another one of my very talented fellow show hosts. Reach me, Eve@thelandofisrael.com, and keep listening, everybody. We love your feedback. The Land of Israel, coming at you every day, every week. That's the Land of Israel Network on thelandofisrael.com.